hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? Have you loved me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Sing it again.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
For what you offer us. Hallelujah. 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 Here's an old chorus.
Friendship with Jesus. Fellowship is the friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Sing it again.
Friendship with Jesus.
Once in a while, we throw in really old songs, and I could tell nobody knew that one, right? Maybe Brother Greg, Brother Dave. Okay, here's another old one.
Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
Lord, can't nobody
Friend, are you his friend? All right, we're in fellowship divine with him. He's our friend, and I thank God there's no better friend than that. Amen. Let's pray today that God will blessing will be upon this message here today. I know God has something for you because it's his word. Amen. Now I don't know if I can get it out good enough where you understand everything. That's God will have to bless me. Amen. So let's pray that God bless me and bless his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to be in the house of God today. Lord, where we come together in fellowship. Lord, that we might encourage one another in the word and in your love and in your friendship, Lord. God, we ask it all. Bless me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I hope you've all been good this week because we're teaching on the golden rule. And if you wasn't, maybe you'll know enough to be good next week. But all right, I thank God today for this opportunity to teach again, to teach his word. It means everything to me. It's my hope. It's my all. Amen. We'll start with Matthew 7. We're going to read through Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Amen. Let's all stand for the reading of the word. Our focus verse today is Matthew 7 and 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7 and 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. O, what man is there of you whom is, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12, therefore again, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You may be seated. Amen. I know today this is a pretty familiar passage, and we're still in the Beatitudes. We're still in the spiritual things of God. We're still in this God's standard for man and God's standard for the millennial. Amen. I don't know if we can get it all, but I know that God desires for us to strive for perfection, to strive for these things. And that is our duty, to do that. But there was a man, if we could be like the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. He asked him, he said, what must I do to be saved? Or what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him, he gave him all the commandments that God had pertaining to man of the Ten Commandments, but he didn't give him the ones that man's responsibility to God. This man, he claimed that he did all these things. And then Jesus knew his heart. So Jesus asked him, he said, now good, go sell all that you have and come and follow me. The man left away very grievously because he had much riches. See, he kind of failed the test there, didn't he? When the golden rule says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do you, do ye even to him. Or to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, if that man had been poor, You know, he would have wanted the rich man to give to him. And if he had riches, he would be expected to do the same to the poor. But the rich man, he couldn't let loose of those things. There's some things we just can't let loose of. And a lot of times, it's most of the time, if not all the time, it's riches. That's the reason sometimes a man will say, well, I don't go to church because all they want is your money. See, they can't let go of it. Remember, two or three weeks ago, I told you about the monkey trap that Brother Peterman used to talk about? How that man would build a trap, and he would put food in it that a monkey would like. But he could only get his hand a hole just big enough where he could put his hand through, just like that. But when he got a hold of the stuff, his hand made a fist when he pulled back out. He couldn't let go because he wasn't going to let go of what he had. See? So the only way he was going to get free of that was to let go of the riches that he had, and then he could pull his hand through. But they say, I've never trapped a monkey, so I'm only going by what people say. They say that monkey will stay there and hold on to that and let itself be captured. Got more monkey in us than we thought. Amen. But God is good. And like the rich man, he just didn't want to let go of those things. Amen. He wouldn't do these things. He wouldn't do to this man what he would want have this man to do unto him. But he would, if he was on the other shoe, he was a poor man, then he would hope that the rich man would give to him. Amen. But the Bible teaches a lot of things. The rich man, young ruler, he had a long ways to go. Amen. Because the things he probably thought about the Old Testament and all the things there, you know, the commandments are just bluntly put on there. No explanation. Just bluntly put on there. That's the reason it says the law and the prophets. Amen. The prophets came and they made these things known to man, what God wanted man to do. And how God, and in most cases, you know, it didn't happen that way. Amen. Man had a lot of trouble following the law. And you take this part of the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, that's the ninth degree of the law. That's your pinnacle. Now, some people say, well, my religion is a golden rule. I guarantee you it's not. Amen, because if you would keep the Sermon on the Mount, if you would keep that, you would keep the law. You check out all the commandments that God gave to man. I'm skipping ahead here a little bit, but all right, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You would do that. No graven images or likenesses. You wouldn't have any of that. If you obeyed what was in the New Testament here concerning the Sermon on the Mount. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy name in vain. You wouldn't do that. And you would remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You would honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. You wouldn't kill. A lot of people don't understand what all this means. They said, well, the Bible's something wrong with the Bible. It says, thou shalt not kill, and there's killing all through the Bible. But see, like I said, it was just bluntly put up there. If you would check those things out, a man that was killed without a cause, or not to murder. Amen. You don't murder. You don't kill people without a cause. People go to war, and these things happen. This is part of life, unfortunately, in this day, but there's a time coming where that won't be. Amen. So thou shalt not steal. You're not going to do that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. You don't do that. Even if you look on a woman with lust, you've already committed in your heart. See, that's a ninth degree. But this, like I said, was just bluntly stuck up there. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Amen. Now, if you've read the Sermon on the Mount, don't you agree that it would fulfill all those things? Amen. So the law and the prophets have been fulfilled. Amen. When we, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. And the And Jesus, he makes the plans. He puts down the rules. Amen. He set down a perfect rule for man. Now, are we ever going to be able to do that? Well, they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. So the only way that you're going to keep anything in God is have part of His Spirit dwelling within you. And then, if you'll read, Paul will talk about the weakness of the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is weak, but the spirit's willing. So we still have a battle. Amen. But God can work all things out to them that love Him. He'll give you strength. He'll help you along the way. And if I sat up here and told you that I've been perfect since I've been saved, I can't do that. And I'm not in a place right now where I should do that, because I'm in the wrong place to be lying. But, you know, Paul said this. He said that he, one thing, he might not have attained this thing yet. He said, but this is one thing I do. I press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that's what we do. But the law has been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled in us, but how? Through Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, you take a trapeze artist. Now they're good in what they're doing. They're professional. Amen. And they if they make a mistake, if they don't have a net below them, it's gonna be a bad time for that trapeze artist. But we're like that trapeze artist. Amen. We know the things. We know the way. Amen. But sometimes you're not gonna do everything just right. And thank God for that safety net that's below us. And that is Christ Jesus. Amen. Without Him, we couldn't walk. Without Him, we couldn't do anything. Amen. But the golden rule here, I found something that I thought was pretty good explanation of it. It's a law, of course, lifted to the ninth degree. It said, Jesus was not instituting a new commandment. Rather, He was explaining that doing unto others what you would have them do unto you is a summary expression of all that the Old Testament required. In other words, all the revelation which God had made to man in every age and in all utterance of the prophets. Amen. That pretty much explains it out what it means. Now, but it's for them then, and for us, a lot of times it's just when you first come to the Lord, or some things just seem like it's just blunted out there to you without an explanation. And many people, they don't understand the Word of God. They get confused about the Word of God. And I'm starting out with the golden rule first, because I want to get that explained before I go into the rest of it. But the Ten Commandments, they only bluntly put it out there. It's like a stop sign that you come up to. It just says stop. And that's all. They don't tell you anything else. They don't tell you how to stop, but it still means stop. Amen. But if you look in the rule books of the law, it's there for a reason. Amen. It's there to control traffic. It's there that we don't have chaos. Have you ever seen maybe on a TV or something where some of these countries that don't have stop signs? It's a chaos. You can't move for it. You can't. I mean, everybody running into each other, and everybody's hollering and screaming at each other and blowing their horns and. Well, God gives us a place to stop. Amen. Because it's for our own good. You look into the rules of the roads, and amen, he'll tell you that you don't just come to a rolling. You got to stop. You must stop. You don't stop if you want to stop. You must stop. And if you don't stop, you're going to get a ticket. And if you keep on not stopping, they're going to take your license away from you. But it gives us warning. That's where the Bible is. It gives us these things. And the Ten Commandments were just put out there. And man had a really hard time. The Bible says, how can we understand unless God send a preacher? So God sent prophets to help them along the way, knowing full well that man wasn't going to be able to keep these things. One thing man is good about is forgetting about what they was told to do if they're not reminded. So that's the reason we come together. That's the reason the Bible says read your Bible and pray and seek God. Amen. But fulfill our duty to God is the first four commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt have no other gods before me, no graven images. They shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And remember the Sabbath. That's our responsibility to God. Now, we couldn't fulfill that responsibility to the satisfaction of God. We could worship God in that way. And in those things, that the prophets, they would tell us how, this is how you worship. This is how you put God first. You'd put no other God before him. No, you can't have a God of the rain. You can't have a God of the sun. You can't have a God of the field. You can't have a God of the forest or the God of the wheat. You can't have all these gods. There's but one God. And we found that out through Scripture. But at one time, man was serving many gods. Amen. So Abraham was called out from among those people. And Abraham was one of them. But this is not Bible, but it's in history. And Josephus, he said, hey, Abraham had this notion there was but one God. And they was about to kill him and stone him. And God called him out from among them, and he made him a nation from Abraham and his seed. Amen. But his seed had to go certain ways. Amen. He just couldn't see. He had seed. You take the Muslim people, they're seed of Abraham. You have to know where God's taking you to. That's when all these signs are put down. All of these things are put down for your good. Amen. We have to do these things. But it was from the seed of Isaac will thy name be called. That's when the most people say, well, the Muslim, they're seed of Abraham. They even claim they are. But his name, his seed that he's going to bless all nations with was going to come from Isaac. So that kind of split the seed. And that's where you find the Jewish people. Amen. That's what sets them apart from the rest of the seed of Abraham. Amen. The rest of the seed of Abraham would like to kill the Jews. Amen. They're for jealousy or whatever reason, but they've always wanted to kill them and get rid of them. In Galatians 5 and 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Romans 13 and 10, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. If you read the Ten Commandments just with me a while ago, you can see where all of that lines comes right in with the Ten Commandments. After they're explained to you, after you know what they mean. So that's the Beatitudes, and no doubt, it's for a perfect man. And that's the reason we struggle with it, because we still have two natures. We take on a new nature in Christ Jesus. And then, by the renewing of our mind, we walk with God. Amen. And Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. We walk in the Spirit. Now, this walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh is, since it said lust of the flesh, I believe it's talking to us about living an overcoming life. If we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If so be that Christ dwelleth within us. No overcoming without him, or not any that would do any good. Amen. Galatians 3 and 24. Wherefore, the law, and I put in here, and the prophets, don't say that, but I put for clarification, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 5 and 14. The law fulfilled, love thy neighbor as thyself. You can go back to these Ten Commandments and the things that God speaks about, and you'll find that if you can keep those, amen, you'll be able to fulfill the law. But Christ fulfilled the law, and then the law is fulfilled in us through Christ. Amen. But we manifest some parts of Christ that's in us, we become new creatures, and we begin to walk in newness of life. We walk differently. Amen. My walk was terrible before I came to God. It was just awful. And a lot of my brothers and their children down south, theirs is just as bad. But there's a difference. I'm not as good as I can be, but I'm not as bad as I used to be either. Right? It's a constant walk. It's a constant struggle. And if you stay away from the Word of God, pretty soon you'll begin to walk in your own mind, your own imagination, doing your own thing. And that's we get warned of that in many places. But the golden rule, amen, it's not a commandment, but it's just part of our walk with God, and the way it's going to be in the millennial is what they say if you keep on searching back in it. And some way say, well, that's just for the millennial. But no, there's just too many things pertaining to us in it. There's just too many things that you have to look at and say, wait, no, there's something more to that. It's God's, because Paul, he said he strived for perfection. And that's what he said we are to do. Amen. Leaving the doctrines of the principle of Christ and going on into perfection. Amen. We got that doctrine, the principles of Christ. We last time I was up here, I think I said something about that. The principles of Christ. Amen. That gets you in the door. Amen. Then you go on. You go on and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn. I'll show you here. Leaving the golden rule. I mean, I think we all understand that it's a God standard. And here I have the Sermon on the Mount. I have a good identification here. It's a body of moral teaching characterized by an emphasis on a sincere devotion to God. Now, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is. Now, so when you get into it and you begin to study the Sermon on the Mount, you can get carried away into something. Let's look here in Matthew 7 and 7. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now this, people are misunderstanding things. Now this, I told you what the Sermon on the Mount was. It's a sincere devotion to God. It emphasizes on that. Moral teaching. So this is teaching us how that we should live. And it's not saying you're going to get there, but it's the new nature that's within us that keeps calling us in that direction. But there's still an old nature pulling us the other way. Because we still have the flesh. He's still there. But we are to seek for the higher things in God. Brother Wells has been teaching quantum entanglement. If you wasn't here, you probably don't know what that is. Amen. But we're hardwired. Amen. We don't got to go through no more circuits. Amen. We're hardwired. Amen. Instant. Just like that. We're connected to God. And our prayers are just that quick. But we are to seek. It says, ask. That means you pray. It says, it shall be given to you. Seek. More than just praying, it's seeking. And you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says, a diligent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A diligent prayer. Amen. Where's teaching here? Most people, if you just come in and you read that, man, you're going shopping. That's right. You're getting your shopping clothes on. You're going to town. Well, there's places in the Bible that God says he'll take care of you, and he will. Amen. You think about the wilderness. It rained manna every day. Every day it rained manna. Whether there was good or bad, it rains on the just or the unjust. Amen. God has provided a ways for us to feed ourselves and to do for ourselves. And you know what? Some people say, well, he'll bless those that give the effort. Well, he will. And if you're in God, I believe he'll bless you even more. But this is what this means. And this, and ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. In Ephesians 3:14 through 21. For this cause, for the heavenly cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that we would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. This is what you're asking for. Amen. Remember, we're in a Sermon on the Mount here. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is what you're asking for. You're asking for strength in the inner man. That man that's inside you that God has saved. The flesh is going to return to dust. This is the things we see. Amen. This is the thing that we find, that we shall find. This is the things that we knock. You know, every place in the Bible when it talks about knocking on a door is an open opportunity. Either that door is going to open or sometimes it closes. But it's always about an open opportunity. It's not an open door to Walmart. It's an open opportunity that you can grow and be strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Amen. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Being rooted and grounded in the law and the prophets. It's been fulfilled in us in Jesus Christ. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. That's the width. What is the length? Wasn't Brother Wells just teaching about the height and the length and all of this thing? Amen. These things we seek for. And he's bringing it out real well, but science is finding it out. They just don't have no faith. They just lack faith. They don't know where it's coming from. They won't say, well, this is where it's coming from. They want something that they can understand. And I'll show you, you're not going to be able to do that either. All right. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. There's some things you're just not going to understand. You're just going to have to take by faith. And now that's what science needs to do. They have gone as far as they can go. But we have something that passes that knowledge. We can go further than that, but we just have to trust in him and confess our own ignorance and say, Lord, I've got all I can give. I don't know anymore. And you ask God and he'll give you that. The Bible says if you lack understanding, ask of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. And most of the cases when he's telling you to seek him for things, that's the things he's telling you to seek him for. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. We've got a long ways to go. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to be exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's within us, he is unlimited. He's unlimited. Scientists ain't going to never understand that because he's unlimited. They're not going to find all the things of God. They're going to find what he allows them to, but how far, how big is the universe? How far does it go? What's all of it there? I don't know. And I haven't read anything where anybody else knows. They have, what do they call it? They don't know, but they, what's that? Yeah, but it's, anyway, it might come to me. I don't want to confuse everybody. I just go on. All right. But we tend to put God in a bottle. And we rub it whenever we want him to come out and bless us. But he's telling us to seek him. He's telling us to ask, to seek him. And we shall find him. And to knock and it shall be opened unto us. Our work don't quit. See, that's what happened in the Bible where they stood around the cross. They were just standing around the cross. They wasn't going anywhere. They were just preaching salvation. And Paul come to them and he said, or they were preaching the principles of salvation. That's all they had. And Paul said, leave that and go on into perfection. And that hasn't changed. Amen. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. And we're still in the Sermon on the Mount here. That thirst after righteousness, ye shall be filled. Amen. Brother Wells went way up there, but we just went further. We went further. Amen. We went to a place that's beyond, that passes all knowledge. Colossians 4 and 3. With all praying, that's asking. Also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bounds. We have the one door open. That's the only one you hear about. Christ is a door. Anybody ever hear that? Next time you go to church, it's still Christ is a door. Next time you go, it's still Christ is a door. Well, that's what they've said. The principles, leave that principles and go on into perfection. He is a door, but there's many other doors that he wants you to knock on. But right now, the pitiful thing about the church is that we're in a lukewarm church age. It's reversed, and God is knocking on the church door. Amen. But anyway, I'm going to finish up here. It says, if a man asks a fish on verse 10, 7 and 10, I'm just going to skip some of it. We're running out of time. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things, good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now there's another scripture that means the same thing as in Luke 11 and 12. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? See, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. He wants to give us all the things that he has. And the Bible says in James 4 and 2, says, you have not because you ask not. You're not asking for the things that God wants you to ask for. You know what he says? He says, now we take care of the heavenly things, he'll take care of the earthy things. Our duty is to take care of the heavenly things. But we come all the ways, all the time, with my needs on my mind. But God says this. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, you ask, in verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. Seek the heavenly things and leave God. He'll take care of the earthy things. He said he would. Amen. He said he would. He would take care of our needs according to his riches in glory. And he means exactly that. If he said it, then he means it. Amen. So this is how we do with God. We should strive. You know, there's a lot of fussing and stuff in churches, but they should never be the first one. If I would treat you like I wanted to be treated, and if you would treat me like you wanted to be treated, amen, we'd be glory bound. My time's up, so Sister Davis will come. But we need to be patient. Philippians 4, 11 and 12 says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Therefore be content. Trust God. Go on and do the best you can do. And God will bless you in your efforts. Guaranteed. You put him first. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. It's everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Sometimes we just suffer need. And I think we should ask God. But amen, don't forget the other part that we have to also, amen, go to the things that God wants us to do. We just seek the height, the depth, the breadth, amen, all things. Just seek what things that God has and trust God. That's where it's at. Trust him. Don't be looking at those things all the time. Look at him. And then if we look at him, we trust him, and guess what? You forget about those things. You just put them in the hand of God. You say, they're not mine anymore. And God will take care of it. Amen. But put him first. Don't continue to put yourself first. Don't continue to always be in need, always be in want. Paul said, he said that I'm going to be content in no matter what state I'm in. So this is how you serve God. And I believe this is how you get all your answers from God too. God bless you.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great.
Why don't you stand?
Is our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all will see how great. How great is our God. Sing it again. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great.
You find
sing
a place to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Help me to do unto others, God, as I would have done unto you. That your greatness would be displayed in the life that I live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.